God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text for today is based off of our gospel reading, in which we have an event that occurs before the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus is teaching his disciples, and he's teaching them about the Spirit. Today we celebrate the Feast of Pentecost, in which that promised Spirit of God came upon the disciples. You may notice the cover of our bulletin as the artist depicts the disciples there with tongues of fire upon their head. The Spirit came upon them and gave them great boldness and great gifts. And one of these gifts, of course, was the ability to speak in different languages. These were languages that were known by other people throughout the world. And other people throughout the world would be gathered at Jerusalem at this time, also in celebration of the feast, not necessarily the Feast of Pentecost, but a different feast. But getting back to our gospel reading for today, we have a very interesting situation here. We have in which Jesus somewhat describes that out of us will flow a river of living water. So the title of today's message is The Power of Water. We don't have to go too far before the power of water sometimes affects our lives in a negative way. How many of us have ever experienced a flood? Especially after the rains we've been getting, some of us might be saying, "Yes, Pastor, I've seen the water in my basement." And if there's a lot of water there, it can have a very destructive force behind it. But then we can also read the news about those who have to deal with the effects of hurricanes. There are parts of this country still recovering from hurricane damage many years ago. And then we also have things called tsunamis. So here, water is used in one essence of a negative way. And we cannot forget the flood either. But I'm not going to necessarily say that was a negative way either. Even though there was a great deal of destruction, yet in the flood, there was also salvation. As God saved Noah and his wife, his three sons, and their wives, eight in all. Water and the ark saved them. We need water. We have to realize somewhere between 50 to 60% of our bodies are made up of water. And without water, there is death. So yes, water is indeed very powerful. But think for a moment. How much water does it take for that power to be felt? Is one drop of water enough? If you think about it, as it comes from the sky, it comes in one drop at a time, which creates rain, which creates floods, that destructive force. But for today, we're going to take a look at one drop of water now coming in a different way. Last Sunday, you may remember, we had the opportunity to celebrate Holy Baptism, which I will admit, more than one drop of water was used, but I just need one drop to make my point. Connected with the power of God's Word, and now that one drop does something spectacular. It changes a person from being outside of God to being in relationship with God. Not having the Holy Spirit to now having the Holy Spirit. One drop of water with the power of God's Word, and the person is changed. Can one drop of water do that? It's not the water that Martin Luther reminds us in his small catechism. It is the power of God's Word, God's promise behind that water. But through that one drop of water, hearts are changed. Just like in the psalmist, or the psalmist says, "Create in me a clean heart, O Lord." This is not something that you and I can do, but it is something that God does through his promised Spirit. So this takes us back to Pentecost for another moment. Pentecost was a time in which Jesus gave specific instructions to the disciples. Stay here until the Spirit comes. Stay in Jerusalem. Don't leave. Stay. They didn't know what the Spirit would look like or what would happen after the Spirit came. They just trusted in the promises of God, and the gift of the Holy Spirit came. And then they knew. And then they knew with all boldness. They knew, and the Spirit testified to Christ. And they knew who Christ is and what is Christ all about. In one essence, we would almost want to have that same type of direction. Wouldn't it be nice if God just sent you an email and says, oh, by the way, today I want you to do this, this, and this? Wouldn't it be nice to have that kind of direction from the Lord? Stay here until this promise comes. Well, in one essence, we do have that direction from the Lord. Because the same Spirit that rested upon the apostles is also upon you, through the power of that one drop of water with God's Word. You have that same Spirit. That same Spirit that does what? That testifies to who Jesus is. The power of the Spirit doesn't necessarily make the individual a better person. The power of the Spirit makes the individual connected to Christ. And it is through Christ you have this boldness. It is through Christ that the person's sins are forgiven. It is through Christ we have life and life eternal. That all comes about because of the promised Holy Spirit. Pentecost is actually considered the end of the Easter time. You see, let's back up for a moment. The church year is really divided into two halves. The first half is about Jesus. The second half is about the church. That first half begins at Advent, the time of Christmas. And that Christmas time goes from Advent through Christmas through Epiphany. And then after Epiphany, we change to the time of Easter. Lent is that preparation time of Easter. So it is in the Easter time. And then after Easter, we have your Sundays after Easter. You may remember 10 days ago we celebrated the day of Ascension and finally the day of Pentecost. Yes, the promised Holy Spirit comes upon the disciples and it ends this time. So Pentecost, the Spirit, all points back to Christ and Him crucified, the time of Easter. Next week, we will celebrate Holy Trinity, in which this Trinity congregation is named after. That will change our time into the time of the church, but I'm getting ahead of myself for right now. But let's go back to Pentecost. This is the day we're celebrating in which God gives gifts. So we have to ask ourselves, if we have the same Spirit, which we do, what are we doing with the gifts that God has given to us? Are we quick and always bold to show that same love and forgiveness? Are we quick to tell people what Christ has done? Are we quick to point to Christ and say, that's the answer? If you want a barometer of this in your life, let's take a look at your prayer life. How active is your prayer life? And what are you praying for? I recently came across an interesting quote of Martin Luther as I was sort of reviewing the Large Catechism. And yes, there is a Large Catechism. That basically goes like this. I'm going to do some paraphrasing here. Picture God as being that very benevolent king. And a common person comes into the court. And the king asks the common person, what would you like? Give me one wish that I can grant for you, and I'll give it to you. The king is thinking of some sort of noble gift to the common person. But the common person's feeling, well, either overwhelmed, or maybe he just doesn't think the king is going to give him anything. So the common person basically just says, just give me a bowl of rice, a bowl of cereal. That's all I need. Luther continues this analogy and basically says, this is the wrong thing to ask for. God is saying, I've given you the Spirit. Be bold. Ask for things for His kingdom. And don't just ask for little things. Be bold in our prayers. That sit there and say, yes, Lord. This is what your kingdom needs here and now. You know all things. Give it. Because again, what is the Spirit supposed to testify to? The death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we come here to this day of Pentecost, knowing that God does indeed give gifts. And very often we might be thinking, but other people have more important gifts than I do. And the real answer to that is no, you don't. They don't. The gift of the Holy Spirit was given to the disciples, the apostles, and given to you through the power of that one drop of water with God's word attached to it. And notice what our text does with that water that changes us. Now, because of one drop, out of us will now flow a river of living water. Water that now brings life, that changes things, flows through you. You don't create it. It comes from God through you to other people. And again, going back to that prayer life for, what are you praying for? For your, just for yourself? Or for God's kingdom to be advanced through you? Are you praying for that love, that forgiveness, so that you may show that love and forgiveness to all people? Because how else does that living water flow through you? Except through our prayers, our thoughts, and our actions. A couple little side notes to all of this. Jesus, in speaking and doing some teaching, especially about when some Pharisees were getting a little grumpy about his disciples breaking the food rules, so to speak, Jesus says, don't worry about what you put into the mouth, because what you put into the mouth cannot defile a person. It's what comes out of the mouth that defiles the person, because what comes out of the mouth is from the heart. You have the same Spirit as the disciples. You have the same God. And out of their mouth came great boldness. You may be feeling, but I don't have that gift. Fair enough, we all have different gifts and abilities. You have that same Spirit. So this day, we celebrate the gifts that God has given to us. And we ask the Lord to open up our hearts so that His Word, His love, His forgiveness may continue to flow through us. And we ask the Lord to help us not block this river of flowing of living water flowing from us. Because our sinful natures are strong. And we may not want to be as generous as our Lord and Savior gives of Himself. One final note, to which the Spirit testifies to. When did Jesus have water flowing from Him? St. Luke brings this up at the crucifixion of our Lord. When a soldier pierced Jesus' side to see if He was still alive. And the Gospel writer notes something very particular. Out of His side flowed both blood and water. And in doing so, in that crucifixion event, we now have life and life eternal. The power of this water comes from Christ and Him crucified, given to you through holy baptism, now flowing to you, through you to others with that love and forgiveness that you received from Christ. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guide your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.